Hey, yeah, you. Have you seen this movie? That's what I thought. Go watch before continuing on, because we are going to spoil every bit of it. We'll be waiting for you. Also, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at DylansFRF, or email us at DylansFRF@gmail.com. Thanks!
Dylan's First Run Features. Here are your hosts, Ryan Mason and Dylan Mason. This is Lane Hewitt speaking.
Welcome to Dylan's First Run Features. What are our names this week, fool?
Hey everyone, I'm Damien, and that's Pazuzu, and this is our Halloween episode of Dylan's First Run Features.
Damien and Pazuzu, yeah, okay. Alright, Damien Pazuzu. That's great. Well, it is appropriate because we are watching a devil movie this week. We are watching, unfortunately, Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah.
Rosemary's Baby.
I guess we should get started with this movie.
Baby.
Paramount Pictures presents Mia Farrow in a William Castle production, Rosemary's Baby. Co-starring John Cassavetes. Written for the screen and directed by Roman Polanski.
Rosemary's Baby stars Mia Farrow, John Cassavetes, Ruth Gordon, Sidney Blackmer, Maurice Evans, Ralph Bellamy, Victoria Vetri, and Patsy Kelly.
So Rosemary's Baby was directed by Roman Polanski, written and directed by Roman Polanski. We're going to hit on Roman Polanski here in a little bit. At the time, one of the most exciting filmmakers of that era for a lot of people. Not for me necessarily, but he's got a couple of movies I enjoy, but this ain't one of them.
This is not one of them.
No. Rosemary's Baby is about a secret society of Satanists.
Of witches.
The majority of them live in the same apartment building as Mia Farrow's character and John Cassavetes' character, who is her husband. Mia Farrow's character being Rosemary. Her name's in the title. And John Cassavetes' character being Guy. That's his name is Guy.
Okay, let's be honest. When would you ever name a person a son Guy? I mean, yes, there's Guy Ritchie and all those directors, but Guy is such a weird name.
That's a very pedestrian name, isn't it? What's up, yeah. Guy?
Hey, what's up, Guy?
Hey, Guy. It's an odd name to name somebody. It's kind of an old-fashioned name at this point.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are having a baby. What's his name? Guy.
Guy. That's like naming someone Woman.
Bring it on, Woman.
Guy is a struggling actor, and he and Rosemary moved to New York. They get an apartment in this old creepy building, basically. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned, it's populated with a secret society of Satanists, though Rosemary and Guy don't know this yet.
No.
Not only are the apartment tenants Satanists, but so are some of the other people in the movie, like Rosemary's doctor and Rosemary's substitute doctor. Everybody's in on it, and she has no idea.
Everyone is them witches.
As we mentioned at the beginning of the show, all spoilers here.
Yeah, all spoilers.
All spoilers.
If you haven't seen Rosemary's Baby, we don't care.
Boy, it's a boring movie.
Boring!
Still considered a classic, too, and I guess for some reasons I can understand why people love it, but I just don't.
I don't see it either.
So Guy is a struggling actor, and he finally gets a big role on Broadway after the lead actor of that play goes blind.
How?
And we find out later how, because Guy has sold his soul to the devil to become a famous actor.
Wow.
Yeah, at the behest of others.
Yeah.
He sells his soul, and Rosemary doesn't know this yet.
No.
Doesn't know it, and she just thinks her husband is very casual about the fact that she's really having an unusual pregnancy.
Yes. A very unusual pregnancy.
Right.
And let's talk about that scene, because if you've seen Rosemary's Baby, this is the most iconic scene from it.
Yes.
In the movie, about halfway through, not even halfway through, like maybe 30 minutes in.
Let's do some setup first.
Yeah.
So they have some nosy neighbors played by Ruth Gordon and Sidney Blackmer. Ruth Gordon's character is Minnie. Minnie is actually the ringleader of the Satanists.
Yes.
The witches, if you will.
And Ruth Gordon is corny as balls.
She's corny as balls, but she won the Oscar for best actress in this movie.
I thought she was one of the worst actresses in this entire movie.
If you know her work, she's straight up Ruth Gordon in this movie. If you know her work from Harold and Maude and from the Clint Eastwood Monkey movies, she's straight up Ruth Gordon in this movie. And I think she's funny. I think she's funny in the movie, too, but I don't know if she's Oscar-worthy or not.
No.
But they're nosy neighbors, and they decide early on that Rosemary is going to bring the Antichrist into the world.
Yes, they do.
And they're going to captain the whole thing, I guess. So,
to give you some pre-context for this scene, Rosemary gets drugged by some drug.
And a chocolate mousse.
And a chocolate mousse.
Made by Minnie. Yeah.
So she's drugged with just a hint of salty aftertaste.
Yeah, chalky aftertaste.
Chalky.
That's what you want in a mousse, is a chalky aftertaste.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. But she's drugged, and Guy carries her to bed, then lays her out, they strip her nude, and then they put devil signs on her. And in this scene, it is just really confusing because it's a whole dream sequence. First, they're on a boat, and then out of nowhere, Rosemary is being raped by the devil. And it is a very uncomfortable scene to watch because, you know, it's a rape scene. And luckily, they give a very subdued visual of what's actually happening.
Right.
They give the face of who she's being raped by and...
The eyes!
And that's a very heavy part of that story. He's got the eyes of his father. She's being raped by the devil here.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just getting shots of just, like, paintings on ceilings.
Yeah.
And her talking to a priest, and the priest is telling her, "Oh, we can't save you now." It's a hard scene to watch because it's just uncomfortable.
Because you know what's going on, and
you know what's happening.
Horrifying.
While everything is happening to Rosemary, while she's experiencing all of these visuals, the entire building is standing around her bedside, naked, and just watching her being raped.
Mm-hmm.
Guy just says, "Do you think this is okay?" And Minnie says, "Yes, just let it happen." And I'm like, "Oh, you terrible people."
So she's impregnated by the devil in this scene, and
yes,
she and her husband had agreed to start trying to get pregnant.
Yeah.
And this is where it gets really disgusting, in my opinion. Her husband says, "Oh, you passed out last night, and I was really excited about, you know, having sex. So I had sex with you anyway." And I quote, he says, "It was fun in a necrophilia kind of way."
What?
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
That's what he said, yeah.
That's... Oh, yeah. Why?
Now, this whole scene is kind of ironic, considering, let's get back to Roman Polanski, he has been a wanted man in the U.S. for decades because he raped a girl. I believe she was 14, and he fled the country never to return, and they've been trying to expedite him for years, and with no luck. So, Roman Polanski, rapist.
Yeah.
And doing a movie about rape.
He did this movie from experience.
This was before that, I guess. Who's to say he
probably took inspiration?
Well, he was with Sharon Tate at the time.
Oh, and, no.
Well, he was with Sharon Tate at the time of this movie, and then after she died, that's when the rape allegations kicked in.
So his whole world just collapsed all at once.
Partly by an unfortunate, tragic incident, and partly by his own doing.
Man, what a douche.
So by the end of the movie, she has had the baby child. The baby is in a bassinet that is
fully black.
Basically got a set of black curtains over it, covering the baby. You hear the baby crying, and its cry is that of a baby, but also maybe a little bit of an animal.
It's kind of unsettling.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, you've heard babies cry before, and yes, it makes you sad. But whenever you hear this baby cry, it's a lot more unsettling because it's different than what you're used to.
And all of the apartment Satanists are standing around, and they're all talking about how beautiful the baby is and how it's got its father's eyes.
Jesus can't save you, though it's nice to think he tried. And this is not to scare you. Speak and cry. Then you die.
And then Rosemary walks up to the crib. Man, does the mood change.
So she at first freaks out.
Yeah.
She's like, oh my God, that's the devil's baby. I did get impregnated by the devil. It wasn't a dream.
What's wrong with his eyes?
Yeah, and the gravity of the situation kind of hits her, and she goes through a range of emotions. But then by the end of the movie, she's standing there rocking the cradle.
She's officially accepted.
She's accepted the fact that she is the mother of the Antichrist.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the movie.
Yep.
Yep. Sure is. This movie is just a shrug.
Yeah, no kidding.
Just a straight up shrug. I don't understand the classic label that's put on it. I really don't either.
And this thing has like a near perfect score on Rotten Tomatoes. Like it is on the verge of 100%. Yeah, no.
Everybody says the scariest thing about it is what you can't see. It's like...
The most terrifying thing about the movie is what you hear.
Right.
And yes, there is quite a bit of great score in this movie. Like the score whenever Rosemary figures out that her baby is not Guy's child. There is a good score there where it's going,
there is some good stuff in this movie. There's some really great visuals in it. There's a really solid score. But overall, just top to bottom, total shrug.
And to let you know the extent of how long this movie is, it is 2 hours and 17 minutes long.
Feels like it, too.
And yeah.
You feel every second.
Yeah. And by the end of it, you're just like, oh, it happened. It's over. Okay.
Yep.
Oh, well.
Was there anything you did enjoy about the movie?
There are quite a few things. John Cassavetes, Mia Farrow, and Sidney Blackmer are really great in this movie.
Yeah.
That goes especially for Cassavetes and Blackmer, because those two are just killing it on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Mia Farrow can be a bit dry at points. It could feel a bit wooden at points.
Mm-hmm.
And
Ruth Gordon was a little over the top.
Yes. There was a lot of the other cast that was also going over the top.
But they're playing Satanists in a 60s movie about Satanism.
Yeah.
So they're going to act up a little bit.
Yeah, they're going to act a little bit deranged.
Right.
But Sidney Blackmer has a phenomenal voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has a powerful voice.
Mm-hmm.
And it honestly makes me think, man, his balls probably hang like clock pendulums.
Dude. No. No.
No. That's funny, though.
It is funny, but it's dirty.
Man.
You've got to be the clean one here.
Oh. Man.
All right, we'll leave the joke in.
Yeah.
You're going to make your mother blush.
No wonder he's wearing long pants.
Okay, all right. Yeah, okay, all right. Anything else? You want to add any more ball jokes to this while
we're... No.
Okay, all right. Good Lord. My apologies to your grandmother and your mamaw. Well, what's funny about this movie, real quick, and then we'll go out on a positive note.
Yeah.
The producer of this movie's name is William Castle, and he thought that this movie was cursed, primarily because of the Sharon Tate murders, which happened shortly after the movie. And he developed several illnesses throughout the filming of the movie.
Oh, God.
He became so convinced that the devil was out to get him that he remained in seclusion for several years.
Jesus!
And that didn't help that The Exorcist and The Omen came out, and they were both also believed to be cursed films.
Yeah.
Because of things going on outside of the movie.
And Poltergeist as well. That's...
Poltergeist was definitely cursed.
Yeah.
Yeah, several years in seclusion.
He was probably in seclusion until after Poltergeist came out, because...
I don't know. It didn't say exactly how long. It just says several years.
Poor guy.
No kidding. So let's go out on a positive note. So, you know, this is a Halloween episode, and we're giving you a movie that we don't like.
Yeah.
So let's talk about a movie that we liked, even though it was a little too long. We did see Terrifier 2 in theaters.
Oh, yes. Yes, we did.
Terrifier 2. If you've never seen the original Terrifier, instant cult classic when
oh,
it came out.
Oh, yes. That's to this day one of my favorite horror movies of all
time.
The
ultimate killer clown.
Absolutely.
Art the Clown in this one. The sequel, bigger production. This
much
time
bigger
around.
Production.
Still got that grainy grindhouse look, but it is a bigger production. You can tell they got a little more money this time around.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe the goriest movie of
the year?
Well, definitely of the year, maybe in of the past 10 years. Like, it's ridiculously gory.
The goriest movie since the Evil Dead remake from 2013.
I don't know. We got the sadness also.
The sadness was gory, but the Evil Dead remake is just blood raining from the skies.
This movie is so gory that it was given an unrated rating.
And it is rare that you find a movie so horrifically disgusting that it gets released into theaters unrated.
Right.
There have been a lot of things saying that people are throwing up because of how gory this
throwing
movie
up
is.
And fainting and leaving the theater because it's too much for them.
Yeah,
and I can see that.
I can definitely see that.
I got queasy a few times in that movie.
The sadness is another one that, like, there are a few scenes in that movie that are just plain, that are just too hard to watch because, for one thing, it is a very
it's a very disgusting zombie movie.
Yes, it is. Yes,
highly disgusting.
Terrifier 2. It has a very stylistic feeling to it, and it is consistently stylistic throughout the entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
At a few moments, it can feel like it's doing a bit too much with the style, but at the same time, there's just so much to love about this movie.
I guess the complaints from a lot of people about the first movie is that there wasn't much of a story to it, so he really went after, you know, making this a very story-driven movie aside from the gore.
Yeah.
It did have a good story to it. But there may have been a little too much story because
mm-hmm.
the only thing that you and I both equally agreed upon is that the ending of this movie is about 30 minutes too long.
Oh, yes.
And it's got a Lord of the Rings Return of the King amount of false endings to it. Yeah, it goes on a bit long. The movie itself is between 2 hours and 15 minutes and 2.5 hours, which is extremely long for a horror movie.
Yes, it is.
See Rosemary's Baby for details.
Yes.
but it's about a half hour too long. If it wasn't for that movie would probably be my favorite horror movie of the year.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
Pearl still stands tall as
absolutely,
far as that's concerned.
Absolutely, yeah.
If you haven't seen Pearl, see Pearl.
See Pearl, yes.
You don't have to see X to enjoy Pearl 2, by the way.
Oh, no. You watch either of those, and you're going to have a good time no matter what.
Oh, yeah.
Terrifier 2 is so gory, unbelievably violent, that at moments during it, I was just cringing up so much, like just stiff as a board.
We definitely won't spoil this one since it's still in theaters.
Oh, no.
But there is a scene where a girl gets killed in her bedroom, and that's all I'll say about that.
Oh,
don't worry, nothing sexual. It's all just straight up nasty gore.
Oh, man.
Talk about rubbing salt in the wound.
Yeah. Yeah. If there was a movie that was ever named Overkill, it's this one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
That poor girl.
You rarely find overkills in movies anymore because we're in the modern age and, you know, we're finding more ways to tell stories without gore and violence and stuff. Take Hereditary for an example.
Right. Though it does have a share of gore in it.
It has a string of gore in it, and
not like this, though.
No, this is a constantly gory movie.
So I think we can just dub this episode, our Halloween episode, Rosemary's Baby and Terrifier 2.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, we did it.
Yeah.
Two movies.
Woo.
It's our first double episode.
We did it.
Holy cow.
Yes.
And it's probably coming in about the same amount of time as a regular episode.
Because Rosemary's Baby sucks.
But Terrifier 2... damn good time at the movies.
Oh, yeah. You're going to have a great time watching it.
Unless you don't like gore, then you're not going to like it.
That first hour and a half is just...
spectacular.
Chef's kiss for a clown movie.
For what it's worth, the guy that plays Art the Clown, David Howard Thornton, that's his name, right?
Yeah, brilliant guy.
He embodies this role and makes him a classic killer.
Yes, it does.
Art the Clown's not a mime, but he is a clown that doesn't speak.
He doesn't make a single sound.
He doesn't make a sound, even if he's being stabbed or wounded or something. He never makes a sound.
He does visual representations like a clown.
It's like he is devoid of vocal cords.
And at this point, I'm starting to theorize if he actually doesn't have a tongue.
Never know.
There is no sound that comes out of him.
He tells a story with his face, and he's brilliant.
Oh, yes.
And a hell of a nice guy, too. We met him.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice guy.
Both Damien Leone, whose background is in special effects, if you were wondering.
Yeah.
Damien Leone and David Howard Thornton, if they're ever at a horror convention near you, I would highly recommend meeting them. They're,
absolutely.
They're both really great people.
And if you've never been to a horror convention, check one out.
Yeah, you get to meet a lot of great people.
Meet a lot of great people, see a lot of great actors.
And some, you know, not so nice people.
Not so nice people, yeah.
But you get to meet more nice people than you do bad people.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a great time. Unfortunately, we lost one of the greatest horror convention people of all time, Sid Haig, a few years ago.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you still meet people like Matthew Lillard to this day.
Oh, yeah.
It's just...
one of the sweetest guys ever.
Yeah, he's easily the nicest guy
I got to meet the late, great Roddy Piper at a convention, and he... I don't know how else to put it, touched my soul that day. He was just such a sweet, sweet man, and I didn't expect that from one of the greatest wrestling heels ever.
Surprisingly, a really nice guy is Anthony Michael Hall.
Very nice guy.
Yeah.
Incredibly
and
nice guy.
Jeremy Davies as well.
Jeremy Davies was a great guy, too. Yeah. We talked a lot about movies for probably a good 5-10 minutes.
Yeah, I wish I could have been there.
But you had the COVID. Stupid COVID.
Shut. Oh, yes. I thought you were about to say, stupid you for getting it.
And no.
I was like, hey.
Not your fault. It's airborne.
COVID sucks.
Yeah. Y'all be careful out there.
Yeah. But please be careful.
We're not going to make this a COVID podcast.
No.
There's plenty of them out there.
No.
We're not going to talk about it. What we are going to talk about is ending this show.
Yeah.
So, not for good, just for now.
No, we are not ending anytime soon. We have movies for the next 10 years.
We do, so.
I am Damien. That is Pazuzu. Good night from the Antichrist.
Thanks for listening to our first double episode.
Yeah!
Double Live Gonzo.
Woo!
4 sides to the vinyl.
Double feature.
Holy cow.
Oh my God.
Unbelievable.
Woo.
Bye.
Dylan's First Run Features is produced and edited by Markham Harvey. Our music is by Dylan Mason. I'm your announcer, Dylan's mother. This has been a Clown Business Coalition production. Good night, everyone.
This is Lane Hewitt speaking.